The following audio is from Cross Life Church in Tampa, Florida. We are a church that exists to help people find Christ, their place in the body, and their mission to the world. Our calling is to raise leaders and plant churches. So if you live in the Hudson area or near Wesa Chapel, you can also check us out at one of our other locations. For more information, visit us at crosslife.net.
Well, listen, I just trust that you had a good Christmas with your family. I trust that you had a good New Year, but probably more than anything, it always rolls around every year. The first of the year, thinking about the year and thinking about past and how the last year was in our life personally. And then looking forward, you know, there's always this whole thing of New Year's resolutions. But really more than anything, just kind of almost saying, I didn't get this accomplished last year, but this is what I want to aim for. And I don't know about for you, but for me, it is really having God's grace in my life in a greater measure. You know, I've been a believer for a lot of years now, and what I want more than anything is I want more of a freshness in my life. I'm not looking to know more, you know what I'm saying? I'm looking to experience this reality of Jesus Christ in my life and all the varied areas that God has promised that He would move in my life. So yes, there is a knowledge, there is learning more of who He is and His love and His forgiveness and His grace and how I need to be, learning more about me and what God needs to purge out of my life. There's all those things. But for me, 2021, I'm just looking for a greater movement of God. And as we walk through Advent, the reality of this idea is that we have this hope, and our hope is in an individual, and that's Jesus. And because of our receiving Him as our Savior, we have this overwhelming sense of peace, knowing that we're not at odds with God anymore, which really helps us to embrace the love of God in our life. If we don't think we got peace in a right relationship, then it's hard to really allow Him to lavish His love on us because we think we don't deserve it. But when we can get those things kind of lined out, it just brings such a sense of joy, an overwhelming sense of joy in our life, a true joy. And so what I want to do over the next weeks is I just want to kind of remind us maybe of our calling as believers in Christ Jesus. But not just our calling, but to help us understand the supernatural enablement to fulfill that call in our life. You know, I can't tell you over the years how many people that I bump into. And once you, you know, they could be, I don't really know how to say this exactly. They are, I don't know how to say this. They're churchgoers. They have made some kind of commitment to Jesus. But when, it's interesting when you really kind of move into and you start talking about supernatural, then they get a little weird. which has always blown me away because I just think, okay, let me see something here. So you don't—that's really hard for you to grab a hold of. And yet, you have believed the gospel of Jesus Christ. You believe that sin separated you, and God broke the power of sin in your life and put His Spirit in you, and you are living a different life. And that's not like supernatural. That is so supernatural. And then this idea of that as we begin to grow and God reveals His Word to us and the Spirit of God stirs our heart in different ways, that is not supernatural. It certainly is. So we shouldn't just kind of, we shouldn't push away that, the movement of the Spirit of God. We shouldn't be shy of the supernatural things that God does and wants to do in our life on a daily basis. You know, never mind. That's enough. I could really roll there for a little while, but and really for us, it's really something individually and collectively for us to experience together. I don't know in your own personal life how many of you have had just those moments. For me, it was about 2 weeks ago, for about 3 days in a row. God just, have you ever had those moments when it's like He just like shows up? It's like you just sense the presence of God in such a real way, kind of such an overwhelming way. It's like, you know, I'm just like doing dishes, or I'm cooking, or I'm taking a walk, not really thinking about anything. I could be doing 100 things, and all of a sudden, I sense in this overwhelming way the presence of God. That is not natural. That is supernatural. So we shouldn't really shy away from those things. Now, so over these next weeks, I just kind of want to walk us through again to remind us again of our mission statement, our core values, really what I believe that the direction that God has been and is leading us in. So we know this. What's the mission statement of Cross Life Church? We exist to help people find their place in their mission to the world. All right? So simple, right? And then we also have 6 core values. And really, if you think about it, core values are just the things that help us, hold us together, and kind of guide us as a people forward. We call them non-negotiables because we just think these are essentials. We just think these are 6 essential things. Are they all everything? No, but we believe, or at least I do, these are 6 essential things that I think we need to understand and get right. And they are these. We are, go ahead and put that up, the next one. We are building our lives on the Word of God. We're allowing God to have free course in our life through prayer, and we're going to get into each one of these. The next one is that we need to make sure that we keep a kingdom mindset, and that we are inviting and acknowledging God's presence in our mix. That's important right there. And then the last two, that it is about valuing, serving, and reaching people and creating spiritual unity. Now, let me just kind of put it this way. This is kind of what this looks like. In my mind, this is what this looks like. So we are here, number one, we're here to help people find Christ, their place in the body, in their mission to the world. And so the first thing we have is we have Christ, we have place, and we have mission. See, no one could ever get me on what I wrote, because they would say, this is what you wrote. Well, I don't really know if it looks that way or not. Yeah. And so then our core values. So the first one is building our lives on the Word of God, making sure that we have the Spirit of God has free course in our life through prayer, that we keep a kingdom mindset. What's the next one? We are inviting and acknowledging God's presence. We are valuing, serving, and reaching people, and then we are creating this spiritual unity. In other words, we're valuing and we're building our lives and we're seeing spiritual things, because the reality is we need that. We need to understand that it's about the kingdom of God. The spiritual is here before the natural. So it's about rallying around and understand spiritual truths and building our lives, building unity around spiritual things. And so each one of those things, so we have the first one, we have the Word, we have prayer, we have kingdom, we have presence, we have people, and we have unity. Now again, are those everything? No, but This is like a framework. Why is all this in green? Because all these things really help us grow. They help us They help us grow together as a people. They help us grow as individuals in the things of God and the kingdom of God, His word and prayer and understanding. It's about His kingdom and understanding about God's involvement in our life and inviting and acknowledging God's presence and about reaching people and valuing people and building our life around spiritual things. We create unity around those spiritual things. So again, this is a framework, and if you could think about it this way, it's like the trellis and the vine. So I'm going to get into this more in a couple weeks, but if you plant, how many of you have ever built anything that it's a vine and that needed a trellis or some kind of framework to support itself on? How many know when something begins to grow, if it can't grow tall enough to reach the first thing, it'll just kind of flop over? And so what happens is the husbandmen or those that are tending it, they need to support it with things. And so basically this is the whole thing. And how many know a vine doesn't grow straight? It'll wrap around many things and it'll grow in particular ways. And so this isn't, in my mind, you know, each one of us, we're on this different pathway of growing and learning and developing. And so sometimes, you know, you plant a seed in the ground and as it begins to grow, it might wrap around a lot of things and it might take a crazy course. So it's not everybody's going to do this. So we're all in this process of growing, and you get enough seeds, it just, the vine intertangles. But this, in my mind, understanding that really we are here to help people find Christ, their place in the body, the mission, the world, and these are things that will help us do this. This will cause us as a body of believers to become fruitful in the kingdom of God. So, anyway, so let's look at this a little bit. And I want to, as we go, I just kind of want to challenge us again with these things because, what was it? What year was it? 2010? Was it 2010 we started? 2010, those of you that know the story, I was just saying, Lord, what do you want? Is this something that you want us to do? And Denise and I prayed about it, and the Lord said, yeah, that's what we feel the Lord is calling us to. So I spent a couple days just in prayer, and then on the next day, I spent just in front of my computer, and I just began to type out and write out what I think God was saying to me, and this is what the Lord spoke to me right here. He talked to me about these things, and so this isn't anything new for anybody that's here that has been here for any length of time. Some of you are new, and this is new, but even those of us that we've heard this over and over again, I don't know if I've really done this before, but just kind of give us an idea if we got a framework, things that we can go toward. So when I was talking some months back, and I was talking about we were talking about love and how are we doing at loving, and I said, well, let's just jump back to 1 Corinthians, and it says, love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it is not rude, it is not self-seeking, you know, the whole thing. And I said, look, if you really wanted to figure out how you're doing at love, won't you just start there. Start at patience. How you doing at that? Right? And then if you feel like you're going there, well then how you doing in your kindness? And so if we could kind of just think about this in that way, so how are we doing here? How are we doing at engaging the Word of God in prayer in our growing experience of believers? How are we doing that? Now, I can tell you that I spend in our district and outside our district, every time I'm in front of a group of pastors and leaders, the one thing that I emphasize more than anything, they always say to me, hey, we want you to talk about this, we want you to encourage them in these ways. I can tell you every single time, barring none, I always go here. I go here with pastors. How are you doing here? And I had a conversation some years back with Tom, and I said, I really don't have these in any particular order of importance. And he looked at me and he goes, well, you should. And I kind of along that lines, I said, well, what do you mean? You know, I said, oh, I always push the Word of God. And he goes, well, you should push the Word of God because it's foundation. It's your starting point. The Word of God is your starting point. And, you know, a lot of people would argue with me, no, prayer is your starting point. No, understanding kingdom mindset. But look, everything is based off the Word of God. So it's really this starting place. So in our life, and again, let me challenge you, and we're going to get there in a few weeks. How are you doing with that? How are you doing as an individual engaging in the Word of God? See, if you're not doing well there, you're probably not doing well in the other areas as well. Because the Word of God is what? It is food that helps us grow. And if you take food away from people, they don't seem to grow. They don't seem to have energy. They become unfocused. Aaron said grouchy. So when Aaron needs a snack, anybody got something? Hangry. Okay, so anyway. So let's look at this as far as a mission statement. So the first one is, we are here to help people find Christ, right? And in my mind, always, that has always had two sides. It's about salvation. We are helping people know the truth of the gospel, that sin had separated us, and Jesus came, died on the cross to pay the penalty of our sins so that we could ask for forgiveness and we could be made right with Jesus. Salvation. That's a key. But there's another part of it, and that is really this discovery piece. And I'm going to get there in just a couple minutes. But so we got three pieces as far as our mission statement. And it is helping people find Christ, their place, and their mission. And so this is about reaching, equipping, and empowering people. And it takes all three. It's about all three. But the key word for me has always been, and will always be, we are here to help. We are here to help. We are here to help people find. We're here to aid. We're here to support. We're here to encourage others so that they can find Christ. And that is, we're here for those that don't know Jesus at all. We're here to help point them to Jesus so that they can discover the reality of the gospel in their life. And then once they discover that reality in their life, there is this The reality of salvation, there is a whole new discovery process. I don't know how many times I've said it and how many times we maybe heard it this way. Salvation is like a door. It opens up and there's lots inside. And if you just stand at the door, you're probably not going to get very far. You're not probably going to learn very much. But if you can go in and you can just begin to experience, you can read, you can learn, you get in fellowship, you begin to practice, obeying what God has to say, you just begin to grow. There is this discovery process in your life. And all of us have had those in varied areas. So for me, one of them, a biggie, was my temper. You know, just, and I had a really short fuse. And there was this process of me surrendering my life to Jesus and watching Him lengthen my fuse. See, I still got a fuse. It's much longer. And I don't think it, I haven't got really to where, you know, kabang in a long time. But there's this process. There was this process in my life concerning forgiveness and learning what it meant to not just be forgiven, but to forgive. And so all of us, you know, we're on this learning curve, so to speak. And as we're all on this learning curve, different ones of us help each one in varied areas in our life. But the idea, and the reason I said that we're here to help, is because ultimately the influencer and the change agent in people's lives is not their wife. It's not their husband. It is the Spirit of God who is resident in them. It is Jesus is the primary, should be the primary influencer and change agent in your life. Remember what Jesus said to his disciples in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. He said, look, I will build my church, right? And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So Jesus is at work, but we're connected to the mission of God because we're connected to Jesus. And so we do have a part to play in this. And in my mind, I went through 3 years with, from guys all over the country. There's about 150 of us, maybe. And we sat for 3 years. We met once a quarter, and we talked through all these kinds of things about what does God want, what does discipleship look like, and we all coming from different backgrounds. Some guys brought their whole staff, which might have been five or six guys, or their primary people, and every one of us, barring none, had this, before we ever, God had already talked to all of us about, there are some primary things. There is a mission that God wants us to fulfill, and there are ways that we're going to do that. So every pastor there had what God had spoken to them, and it all revolved around very similar things. I could go to 20 websites right now of any leading church, and I could find these things there. That it's really about helping people find Jesus and discover who He is and help them understand the gifting that God has put in their life, and that was with a purpose that they could go into the world and make disciples that are around them, right? And that there are certain things that you need to hold on to as believers, and the Word of God and prayer is primary, and understanding it's about the kingdom of God, and that it's about God in our life and acknowledging Him and His presence in our life, and that we have to value people no matter we like them or not, because we're supposed to love our enemies, and that the body of Christ coming together, we need to rally around something. We need to have unity in some way, and the unity that we need to have in the body is around spiritual truths, around spiritual things. So, you know, as we think through this isn't, in my mind, this isn't clever. It's not clever. It's just, to me, it's super practical. It's like road signs for us. If you're going to go to Blue Ridge, Georgia, you're going to start somewhere on I-75 North, and when you hit Atlanta, buddy, you better stay on 75 North, because there's like 20 interchanges to go a lot of different ways. There's 275, 375, 575, 675. They're just everywhere. And so I always drive through there going, I'm staying in the middle lane. I ain't going on. I'm staying in the middle lane. I don't care if that guy tries to cut me off and he's going 22 miles an hour. I'm staying in the middle lane. So there's pathways for us to get to where we need to go. And so, again, we do have our part to play in what God is doing, right? He's building His church, and we're part of that. And we're to help people find primarily what God is wanting is the change in our life, so that we can help change occur in other people's lives by helping them walk through and find the things that we have found. So thinking about that, you know, the statistics are out there that the people you rub elbows with don't know Jesus. Statistically, unless you're just planted here and this is where you hang out, but you're in the workplace, you're around town. I can tell you right now, if you were to go out these doors and you were to jump into 20 places, the majority of those people in there, especially if you don't go to work, never mind. If you were to go to all those places, there would be a slim majority. There would be a slim minority, or there'd be just this minority of people that truly know and follow Jesus. That's the statistic, because most people don't have a clear understanding of the gospel. But here's a statistic that kind of revs me up. Statistically, they say that 80% of the people that come to faith, they come to faith through relationship, a close relationship with someone else. Now, that's encouraging to me, because it means wherever I live, work, and play, I know that I'm light, and where does God put light? Yeah, on the t-ball field, in the cubicles around you. Right? He places light in dark places. And the encouraging thing is that, you know, we're around people, we have close relationships with people that don't know Jesus. You know, we've said it so many times, I like this idea that we push at varied times where we call it the 3X. There are people that are close to you and far from God. They're close to you. Yes. They're far from God. They're close to you. but they're far from, they're close to you. See, that's really not that far from God. They're close to you. And if they're close to you, what do you think the reason for that is? Do you think that God would have some kind of purpose in someone that was far from Him, all of a sudden you become in relationship with? We have this opportunity, so as we take this, and there's some back there for those of you that need it again, new for this year, just take a few moments and pray through and ponder, who am I around that is close to me and far from God that I'm having a regular interaction with? It could be the guy at the gas station. It could be your Starbucks barista. It could be the guy across in the cubicle. It could be a myriad. It could be a myriad of people. But just kind of write the list down, and as you get the list made, just think through and just say, Father, would you help me know the ones that maybe I should focus my prayer concerns on? See, because God is at work in the world around us. He is nudging people to Himself. He is drawing humanity to Himself. You think, there's no way that use a name that's not in here, Homer, because he's a heathen. There's no way that God's dealing with his life. Well, listen, just kind of look back a few years and remember when your life was reckless and far from God, and he was nowhere on your radar in the way that God was doing things to draw you to himself. So God is drawing people. So that's encouraging. So the statistics out there are that people that come to faith come, 80% of them come through because of relationships. So we're light in a dark place. We have this opportunity to help others find what we have found. So the reality is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17, 18, and 19 then become very real. You know that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, and he has given us the ministry of reconciliation. And we know that reconciliation has to do with relationships. So here you are we see it all the time. There's friendship, and all of a sudden something happens and it fractures a friendship. It separates them. It cuts off the communication. And if you're the reconciler, you're going to stand in the gap and you're going to reach out to this one and reach out to that one to try to bring them back from that fractured relationship into a good relationship. The world around us is fractured. They're separated from God, those who have not trusted Christ. And we're here standing in the gap, standing in the middle, so that we can help reach out to the world around us to help them understand the truth and the grace and the forgiveness and the mercy of God for them and His heart toward them, to bring together this broken, fractured relationship through Christ, which is salvation. And so we get this. And the thing that I was thinking about the other day, you know, I don't know how many times I've preached on this. I don't know how many times I've considered it. But here's the deal. In the next verse in 19 says, and he has given us the word of reconciliation. That, I don't know. That just kind of hit me different. And I'm going, he's given us the message. Now think about this just for a minute. Because it's not that word of reconciliation. So if I were to go in, I were to look through my Bible, and I were there to find the statement on the what is the word of reconciliation. What is the statement? It depends. Depends on where people are. But God has given us a voice to the people around us. I sometimes run into people that there's this particular part of their life that is just shipwrecked. And I get to be able to take and listen, and I be able to get to take God's word and apply God's truth to that particular situation. And then there's other situations I get to be able to apply a particular truth to that situation. So we can't say that there's like a statement. See, there's this truth of the Word of God that speaks into every aspect and facet of humanity concerning His love and His grace and His mercy and His forgiveness. But we got this, we have this message, we have this voice, and the reason we have a voice is because we've experienced lostness and separation, and we've come into this place of peace in relationship with Jesus. That is so good. And here's one more thing about that. See, we're called to be light and salt. We're called to be witnesses. Just, I've said this so many times, you don't have to know everything to say something. See, because it's like, remember the blind guy? John chapter 9, I think it's verse 24 and 25. Jesus comes and He heals this blind guy. He was blind from birth, right? And so Jesus said, now go to the priest and pay whatever it is. And you go to the priest and say, whatever that process, what's that process called, Tom? There's a word, right, they do so that they got the guy can, never mind. He goes, and when he goes, the Pharisees find out that this guy that was born blind from birth is healed, and he told them that Jesus did it. Well, they didn't like that, so they go to him, and they're just really giving him grief, and this guy's trying to defend himself. And the guy, they say to him, he says, you just need to give glory to God. This man is a sinner. And I love this. The guy, he doesn't know anything. He just goes, you know, whether there's a sin or not, I don't really know that. But here's what I do know. I was blind, and now I'm not, and He healed me. When I first became a believer, I didn't know hardly anything. I said, look, I don't know what happened exactly, but here's what I know. My life is different. I'm not given to those things. I don't want those things in my life. I feel like there's a draw to those particular things. And, you know, I had so many of my friends, you know, just, you're bumped your head. We know for sure. Nope. It's the drugs. It was the tipping point. You're not right in the head. Jesus freak. They start, you know, all that stuff. But hey, I knew something. And I couldn't say anything but what I knew. And when I learned a little bit, I'd go, well, I got saved and Jesus rescued me. And people would be going, well, what's that mean? I'm not really sure exactly, but if you come with me on Sunday, we might figure it out together. So it is so good that it's not like we got to have it all figured out to say anything. I mean, the best people to share Jesus and the reality of the gospel is those who have met Him, those that have been changed by Him. Those are the best people. Because you can't take that away. You can't. A friend of mine, you sing this old song, if God is dead, well then who's this living in my soul? Because if my soul had windows, I'd open wide for the world to see. See, the reality for me was I was different. I was changed. The reality for you is you are different. You are changed. And the sad reality is that we live so long as being Christians, and we forget that His mercies are new every morning, that His faithfulness is great. We forget that we can continue to keep seeking Jesus and keep finding Jesus. No one can stop us from that, only ourselves. So we can continue to learn and to grow and to find and discover. It's not about getting my card punched and I'm good. It's about the manifold grace of God, the many-sidedness, the many colors of who God is and is, the many-sidedness of His grace for our life, His help in our life, His love in our life, His mercy in our life, His forgiveness in our life. There's so much for us. Man, let's see, 42 years. For me, 42 years. And like I told you a week or so ago, for those 3 days, it was like, I can't express the freshness and the newness and the reminder that just kind of stood me up to just Keep walking through that door. Keep discovering and keep finding what God has for me. I'll tell you what, when people look at your life and people around your life, that just goes, whew. It's like it just spills out on them. There's something different about you. And the reality is, if the Spirit of the living God is present in your life, there it's almost like it just kind of, it's kind of like this invisible barrier. You just bump into somebody. It's evident. You don't even have to say anything so often. So anyway, salvation. So there's this salvation part. But there's also this discovery piece in helping people find Christ. I can tell you right now, I can't tell you how many people over this 35 years of ministry that Denise and I have been in, and that we have met people who were raised up in church, or adults who have been gone to church for a long time that have no knowledge of what it really means to know and to fear the Lord. There is this mental ascent, but there's no awareness of really the intimacy of Jesus and that He wants in their life. There's no awareness that because I can tell you my life was screwed up, and those of you around here know this, but my life was so messed up. I would always run from everything that caused me pain. I didn't know that when Jesus first came into my life and He kept bringing me, He turned me around and He made me walk through everything that I was running from. And the reason He did that is because He could show His love and His grace and His mercy in my life. He could show to me as a loving Father that He only wanted the best in my life, and that it was necessary for me to learn the lies that had been placed in my life so I could find the truth and the reality of Christ in my life and the world around me. That, I can't tell you how good that is, but I can tell you right now that there are so many that sit in churches that don't know the reality of that. See, it says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Now, you could probably translate that out a lot of different ways. Let me give you mine. For you to understand that there is a God and He created all things and He created you, and that you have this privilege and responsibility toward that, that's a starting place for you to learn and to grow and to know who Jesus is. And as you continue to surrender your life, and as you continue to quit questioning and challenging God and becoming obedient to what the Word of God says, you discover those things in your life. See, some people, just they don't want to deny themselves, pick up their cross, and follow Him. So we have had countless numbers of people that have made a confession of faith and no more than a confession of faith, because they haven't learned. Because us that are pursuing Him, see, what's the best way for you to become an influencer in the people around you with the gospel? Well, it's for you to live it. It's for you to practice it. It's for you to be obedient. It's for you to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow Him. Because until you do that, you're not going to know who He is. It's going to be a mental ascent. It's sometimes through the pain and difficulty of your life that we learn the grace and the mercy of God in our life. See, it's us as we are pursuing Him, and as He is touching and moving our life, we got something to say to someone else who hasn't experienced that, who had been shy to do that, or haven't known that that's what they need to do. Hey, don't worry. It's okay. Just come clean. Just tell Jesus. I can't say that to Him. Well, He already knows, just so you know. But if you just begin to get it out, then God can help you with that. He'll help, He'll cleanse, He'll bring healing. He'll take those things that cause pain and He'll put in the things that bring comfort in your life. He'll take out those lies and He'll put in truth. And that's so good. So for us, then, our admonition possibly to people could be out of Psalms chapter 34, verse 8. Hey, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts him. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Doug, you want to come up? Think about this for a second. This thought, taste and see. See, for me, I cook a lot. And here's my win in cooking for others. They sit at my table, they put the food in their mouth, and they go, You know, others need to experience for themselves. And so if we have experienced it, then it's easy for us to be the encouragers for others to say, hey, taste and see that the Lord is good. I'm telling you that the Lord is good, but you will never know until you experience it for yourself. Amen? Listen, we're moving into a year and out of a crazy world from last year, and it's probably not going to get much better as we keep rolling along because the end is drawing near. But man, if you've caught a little bit, if you can feel in me and it's been stirring in you, the voice of the Spirit of God, this is a word for us. This is encouragement. It has nothing to do about me up there saying anything. It's about God's truth and God's word trying to communicate to us and encourage us. We get to be a part of the kingdom of God, and us being a part of the kingdom of God looks like this. It's us sharing those truths. It's us going through the difficulty and the hard learning sometimes, but getting on the other side, not disobeying and not rejecting, but walking through the difficulty and finding the grace of God in it. It is us going through those things to share the good in other people's lives. That's what our world needs today. Amen.